Welcome to the GWB podcast. I'm Nikhil Rabindra. First, I must apologize that I am a few days late in releasing this week's episode. I don't really have a great excuse apart from saying that I was busy over the weekend, but I'm going to do my best to be a lot more punctual because that's what school taught me as well. In this episode, we continue our conversation with Mohin and we go all over the place just like we did in the first half. We go back to when Mohin was in the NCC, but we also discuss strange controversies that happened during the 2003 Cricket World Cup and a lot more. So, hope you enjoy it. Welcome back to the podcast. So just before we left, Mohin brought up one of my favorite questions, which is, what did you want to be when you were growing up? Now, Mohin, I'll give you a few seconds to think about what you want to say, because I will tell you what my answer is.
Okay.
Take your time. So I don't think I ever had what I'm one of those people who wanted to be everything, if that makes any sense. So I wanted to be a cricketer. I wanted to be a footballer. I wanted to be a rock star. I wanted to be a good engineer. I wanted to be at different stages, right? But I think at every point, I've never had a dream, an ambition for a career as much as visualized a certain moment in my life. When I was young, I wanted to hit a six out of Chinnaswamy and then, raise my bat for a century.
That is always there, isn't it? I mean, we evolved like that, right? Like at different stages of our life. Similar case for me also, Nikhil, actually. So it's when I was till my third grade, right? I remember I was such a patriotic person that, that was the time when I got to know about what exactly was independence and what was the case for third generation for us, how they spent their time, the Britishers being here and things like that. So I used to get boiled whenever I used to hear things of that sort, doing my bedtime stories and things like that, right? Like when we were kids. So I was passionately telling everybody whoever I met that point of time that I have to become a soldier and to the level of destroying and destructing and giving it back and things like that to whoever conscious.
Hold on. Let me explain. Let me figure this out. Because I'm seeing a pattern here. Because other people have said the same thing in a different way. So if you were 8 years old, it would have been 2000.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, 92.
So I'll tell you this, because I was talking to Shyam on his episode and he said he wanted to be a fighter pilot at that
time. Yeah, I heard that. I heard his podcast episode.
It's around the same time, because that's when the movie Border came out. See, the movie Border, I don't think you saw. I don't think Border even released in Chennai because it was in Hindi. Okay, but I think that was also the time of the Kargil War. So there was just a lot more news about war, India and all that stuff. Do you think, if you look back at, because if you do the math, third standard for you, third means you'd have been 7 years old because you're one minus one baby.
Yeah, 8 years, approximately 8 years. Yes.
You're 92, no? Unlike most of, we have 90 bonds also. Yeah. So, so it would be around 99, 2000, right? Roughly, if you think about
it. Correct. No, I don't remember watching Border or anything, but definitely some sort of, the independence movies and definitely had a part on how I was thinking about all this.
No, and Kargil. Kargil was happening at that time.
Kargil for sure. I recollect in my old house, right, back in Chennai, there was 1999, right? We partitioned the house into two houses and then we had put the other house on our rent. Okay, so that's how it's a bigger flat and then we kind of partitioned it. So in 99, I think those tenants were not there. So we opened up the door and we treated it as one house, which is supposed to be. And I used to treat this as India and that as Pakistan. Like, it's just my mind, right? It's just playing my mind. I used to put all the, you know, we used to play with all the, your Diwali, you know, the guns I have. So, and I used to make these paper bombs, which is made. So I don't know if you, this was a thing in Bangalore as well, where they had paper cups, four cups, and making mobile phones with paper ships and planes and all that things, right? When we were such young people. So
the planes are my favorite. The planes are my favorite. We'll come to the paper bomb in a second. Paper planes okay. We'll come back to the war in a minute. I need to get this off my chest. Paper planes is how old were you when you realized that the air you blow in for credit, you know how everybody will keep blowing into the paper plane before they throw it.
I thought it's a sign of you know, the motivation or like some sort of superstition.
Has
anything to do with that?
No, you know what I thought? I thought if you blow more air, it will store that air in the plane like one engine fuel. And then when you release it, it will go more and more.
Bro, this is really had to be NASA or something.
If we had joined NASA, they would have renamed it to Satya NASA. That's what would have happened.
That's gone. Well, let us just say that, you know, as a human race, we still don't know certain things.
Yeah.
So maybe this is also true. This is not true. Science just has to prove it.
It came so naturally. So maybe there's some science which is not discovered yet. Okay, going back to the war. So your war setting, paper bombs, paper planes, right. Paper bombs.
Yeah, right. So I used to make these paper bombs. Just play with it. I mean, India, Pakistan, Kargil war. And we used to only have the radio back then, right? I at least in my house, there's no... we did have a TV, but then... we used to have that radio through which we used to follow that news much more, All India Radio.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a time where same thing. It used to boil me whenever we heard more people are dying on the border and things like that. That at that point of time, I was so passionate towards becoming a soldier or joining the army and things like that. I later in my life, I joined NCC and, tried to be somewhere associated with it. But
you did NCC?
That's what I was part of NCC. And don't ask me how I got the haircut and the NCC.
Forget the haircut. Like, how could you have held the gun and not fallen down?
I was back then. I was a very skinny kid. We didn't have guns as such. Okay, so this was particularly on my 8th grade. So the only point where we had some association with guns were during a camp. So we had in Chennai. So there was this college called AMJ College. So that's where we used to camp. So there was like a 1 week time where it's like proper boarding, right? Like how we used to have boarders in our school.
Correct.
So I was totally, that was the first time I think I left home as well and packed up my lungs, whatever food they gave,
mm-hmm.
My mom was so, she really felt like I was going to go to the war and, never come back. That kind of a feeling is what we had at home at that point. But my dad was really, he was pushing me towards it and asking me to do that. So that was I remember the camp where it was very cool, actually. It was cool in a sense, in a positive way, where you have to wake up at 4 o'clock no matter what.
Yeah.
The discipline, right? Again, it comes back to that. So they used to beat up. I mean, there was a sentry who used to take sentry kind of roles. They used to actually have people who can rob other people's stuff in the night. Okay. Just for the sake of us being very vigilant, so the people who organize the camp, they used to have actual people on employed, you can say, whose job is to come and steal your whatever provisions you have in your... And used to camp as a school together. So DAV was a camp and then there were around 8 schools similarly. And back then that used to play sentry and we had a gun kind of a competition or like training, you would say. Not a competition, a training. So that was the first time I remember catching a rifle and not holding it right. So they have that sandbag, right? So they have the sandbags and they ask you to, they train you to sit in a particular way, hold the gun in a particular way. They the recoil of the gun hits your shoulder and it can get dislocated.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so those kind of things, they were very serious. And if suppose someone is holding it or taking it for granted, you just get beaten up properly in the bottom. So so that that was the first time I remember holding a gun. But that was, having with my weight and things, yes, I didn't, I was not there for a long time. Just for 2 years, I was part of it. And
But NCC, okay, so this is very interesting again, because in Bangalore, in our school, we also had NCC. So we had what we called uniform services.
Because our school, don't treat me like I'm part of the Chennai school.
See, I'm talking about before you joined at that time. That's why I'm saying our school now. It's standard.
Got it.
Right. No, I'm saying now. Yeah. No, like, because we had something called uniform services where you could pick, you could pick different things. So, like, you could do scouts, scouts you've heard of before, right? Like,
well, scouts was one option for us also.
Then, so scouts.
Then there was road safety something, right?
I'll come to that. So, basically, scouts and NCC was there, which is known all over the world. I mean, all over India at least, right? But we had like Green Brigade. Green Brigade is my favorite because like all they had to do, they basically hired free labor to clean up the school every Saturday. Then there was
Social.
No, they were supposed to plant more trees and all that stuff. But good for them. I'm happy for them. Then like there was some fire safety one where they don't do anything the whole year. But once a year, they get one fire engine on the first 11 field. And then that guy will do one demo. He will show, he will take out the pipe and blast the water in the air and show how high it goes, and it's a good job. But the biggest scam one, which I can say right now, okay, like it was called SARS, some Students Association for Road Safety.
Okay.
Basically, traffic police job they got. Okay.
Where in front of Juice Junction? Like, I mean,
not even that much.
Should they go around Bangalore and do it, or just near school?
Now I'll tell you why it is a scam. No, so whenever there was an event in school, like some prize day or something, right? When all cars are coming into park,
they'll that's parking service, not even the road traffic.
All these guys have to wear that uniform with one yellow feather on top of their head and start blowing, and then they're all given one whistle, so they feel damn powerful. Okay, so they go beep beep beep, make everybody park, which was amazing.
Authority,
Authority. So, but going back to NCC, NCC was the only uniform service where you had a test to get into. I think
even we had.
You had to be able to run.
What was the test like here? What did they really?
I think it was maybe some push-ups, some pull-ups, and some running. If I'm not mistaken, the minute I saw that test, I was like, "It's okay, don't want." But
So, which one are you part of?
I was Scouts. Scout was the most respectable one in my head because I did it, which didn't have a test. So, and Scout also had a camp. It was good in its own way. Scout's camp is like damn chill, not like NCC camp. The reason I brought up NCC here is again, I'm just curious on like in my head, NCC has always been my school thing, right? So like, did you say attention standardies or did you say Savdhan Vishram?
No, Savdhan Vishram. It's from, same standard from wherever, you know, it's central board, no? So, they used to come and track it that way. So, even not only that, even right down and left wing, everything was in Hindi.
Wait. You only walked board. Into this. You can tell even now which is Daine and Baine.
It has been some time, so I'll take that liberty.
You only walked into this. I was going to test you. You only said it.
I marched into it.
Yeah.
So, I think why moot is left.
In Tamil, it means shut your mouth.
Why moot? Yeah. But, you know, Tamil and my Kannada mix is by macho. So, it's someone who's in Tamil Nadu. Or Karnataka is totally different, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, so Baye mode is there, and then Daine mode is right, I think. Then about turn is what?
Piche mode.
About turn is piche mode. Piche mode.
Piche mode, I know.
And then it goes. So that was actually cool. I mean, in that NCC whole, it was a different experience. I think everybody should have at one point of time should have, it's just like, you know, we say, right, it's like watching one of the big series that we have, like Game of Thrones or the Money Heist. Some people don't have time to watch it, but then the people who are big fanboys of that say that they should do it at least once in their life. So I would say NCC is something like that.
House of Dentistry is a one-stop solution for all your dental needs with a complete digital dentistry system allowing you to experience a full range of dental care, making your visits short and pleasant. With a fully equipped setup, utilizing all the recent technology and a well-trained team of professionals, they have been able to provide the best dental care available in the heart of Bangalore. They are situated in Sadashiv Nagar with a team of 16 doctors and assistants. Come visit House of Dentistry today. And now, back to your podcast.
Another thing that comes to my head is, this was the only school which I know which has two colors for the same houses. That was one unique thing. Because
that is true.
Back in Chennai or whichever school I know.
Every other
school. It's like every other school. Yeah. So that is one different thing. And every house, the background story that we used to have behind the people who formed that houses and the rich reputation in cottage, you know, that was like very, very, it felt like I was in Hogwarts, to simply say, you know, I mean, I'm not over-exaggerating or something.
Mm.
It was like, that is, so coming from some, like I said, you know, very, very orthodox, academic kind of a school where so much emphasis is there on it, even the city being like that, and then when coming to Bangalore and talking about the first time I'm getting familiarized with the concept of Christianity itself, honestly. So that the chapels that were there in school, the whole infrastructure in school, I still recollect each and every assembly we used to have. There were specific spaces allocated for us, right? Like, I mean, I think Thomas was in front of auditorium.
Yeah.
And or else it was the 4th-11 Pettigrew.
But do you know something?
So that was also... Yeah.
Do you know that those house assemblies only started when you joined?
It was not there before. Was it like before 10th?
It was not there. It had started because of the change in the principal. So Colonel Ellis, he said, see, basically, before it used to be, we would have that same general assembly every day. And then we'll have a chapel, non-chapel assembly. God damn boring. Because some days there was no announcements also. Like sometimes they'll just be like, okay, all of you come here, sing one song and then go back. What's the point of that? So he changed it up. So he said every Monday and Friday we will have a general assembly and Monday we will hoist the school flag and on Friday we will hoist the national flag or something like that.
Yeah.
And then we'll do non-chapel.
But then this each house having their own anthem and the song, right? That was there from before.
Songs are always
there, no?
So the old way of doing things was based on the points of the house, right? So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 5 days, 5 houses. So every day we would end the assembly by singing one house song and the national anthem. But you will sing in order of which house is leading. So if Pettigrew House was first, you will sing that on Monday. So for 10 years of my life, every Friday I sang Thomas House Anthem. Okay.
Nikhil, who was your favorite teacher that gets that question in my head? Like, why? Which is your favorite subject? Which did you, hated? Attending. I guess we go on it after passing out.
Yeah, no, but see, favorite teacher and favorite subjects are two very different things.
Uh-huh.
I think in school, my favorite subject was any subject where I could do well in, not because I liked the subject. There's a difference.
Did you really enjoy computer science? Because I remember, you know, as a classmate, me and you, I don't think we were deskmates at any point of time, at least in 11th and 12th. Right?
The closest I think we were was in the lab. Yeah.
Lab, yeah, that's what I was going to say. Yeah. So lab and then C++, the whole programming and everything, Karnaugh maps, those are the things I remember talking about to you in terms of classroom, right? Like who used to speak.
No, so, I enjoyed.
EVS was another.
Yeah, I enjoyed computer science a lot. It was a great subject. So I think I like computer science a lot. I like the computer science teacher because it because I think we, as a student and teacher, from 9th standard, she's been teaching me, and I actually failed computer science in 9th standard.
Oh, okay.
From failing computer science and in 9th standard. Mm-hmm.
And you had the, you know, audacity, double quotes, to choose computer science back again after, you know, not doing well in 10th.
Like, no, in 9th. I didn't do well in 9th. But then I think thanks to Sham, who taught me to code, I became pretty decent at it in 10th. So she had also seen a journey of this boy who went from failing to being good at it. So I was, she never had to worry about me. She knew that I will get good grades and I'll be fine. And so she was a little tougher on all of the new kids because she didn't know who they were. But I had gone through that treatment 2 years before. Right. But yeah, so she was good. But I think my favorite teacher is still our class teacher, because I think the man has such
a chilled out, no?
Hmm? Yeah, and great sense of humor. Great sense of humor.
Yeah. Chilled out he was. I mean, that's what he used to. I don't remember him getting angry at all. I think once when a lot of noise was there, and that's the only time he got irritated. But no matter what, I think he was always chilled out and used to have that smirky smile and, you know, like have that sarcastic sense of humor, you would say.
Yeah, that's what. Because, like, you know, like, even he used to do one thing, right? He used to run some of the assemblies. Every other teacher would say, "Can you please be quiet?" You know what he used to say? "You will now be quiet."
It's like a statement. It's not a question.
You don't have an option.
Can you be quiet as a question?
It's like,
you be quiet as a statement.
Yeah.
Swag.
Yeah. And there was a time he punished all of us in 12th standard for not writing our diaries, okay?
Oh, okay. The GWP.
No, diary. On like
diary. Oh, diary. Oh, yeah. We used to have that concept of diary.
The green book, right? So over there, the funniest thing is, like, some two people wrote it. Everybody else got punished. He said, "All of you stand here. I'm taking you to principal after lunch." After lunch, principal comes and does his rounds. And he's like, "Yash, boys, why are you all punished? Who are you waiting for?" But I said, "We are trying to meet you only." "Me? Why me?" "Sir, we didn't bring our diary to school and we haven't filled it up."
Tommy was not there at this point of time. He was eating.
Whatever he was doing. Then even Dinsy is like, "Diary." He was this close to saying, like, "What is a diary?" Like, "No, sir, it's a school diary." Then he's like, "Oh, who is your teacher?" And then like one symphony, someone on one side, Mr. Christopher. Somebody else said Tambi. Someone else said Dorai. Right. And then, "Oh, Mr. Christopher." Yeah. He's like, "Mr. Christopher, okay. Tell him to meet me when you see him." Somebody comes like 10 minutes later. "Come, we go to principal sir's office now only." I'm like, someone was like, "Sir, we already met him."
"We just met
him." "You met him, ma?"
"Oh, my God."
"What did he say?" "No, sir, he wants to meet you now." "Okay, you may all go back to class." That's all.
Yeah, even that for that matter, even Colonel was kind of, he bothered about things that was really important.
The
rest of the things, I
think. So, Moven, let's come back to things for a second. Let's come back to things. Yeah. This we knew. So, we'll go back to what you wanted to be. So, army, did that change? Like, I mean, a soldier, when did that change for you?
That changed in 2003, 6th standard, 2003 World Cup, no? Cricket madness.
Yeah. Before
the chewing gum, before the spring in the bat. those were the rumors that was prominent in Bangalore also, no? I mean, so what was told in Chennai, so what was such a big, which is cuddle, but like rumors around the school was, that the final, India and Australia, Australia scored 3 or something, and India couldn't chase it. So that day, Ricky Ponting had a spring in his bat, and that's why he was able to score 100, and he had some sort of, like how we see in that Vikram movie, some drugs in his chewing gum, which is so powerful that he was not a human anymore. He had 10 times the strength of a human. And so, as a result of all this, we're going to replay the finals. The rumor that was prominent going on.
That actually, I didn't hear. For us, when we saw Zaheer, when we saw Zaheer Khan bowl a wide the first ball, we're like, oh, okay, we have a problem here. That's all we saw.
Yeah, that 2003 World Cup was such an important thing for all of us. I think that that was a moment where even I wanted to become a cricketer and, you know, save the country and things like that. So I had a bat in my house, and there was a coconut tree in my house in Chennai. So that image, you know, the small coconuts falling out, not the seeds, kind of the next part of a seed. So I had the habit of writing. I was a single child, okay. So sometimes there was no friends around. They used to be in their own schools and things. So it was with summer vacation per se, and I had the habit of writing down all the 11 players from Indian team, and just hit that coconut trees out of my own house into the next house if it's.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not going into the next door, it's an out. So that was my logic, my own logic.
Correct.
Yeah. And so I used to form my own, based on that statistics, I had my own cards, cricket cards created, who's higher scoring and things like that. So I was kind of mad on cricket at that point of time. I used to go for coaching also, and then I was a bowler back then. So, but that's what
Who was your
Zaheer Khan? Zaheer Khan. Bowler is Zaheer Khan. Batsman, I don't have to say that. That at that point of time. So that was cricket for some years, and then after some time, I was into during our school time, like during Cotton's time, I was actually not at all aligned towards my career at all. I mean, I just wanted to live life. I would say I was kind of irresponsible in that sense, but I didn't have a direction at all in life, just like how you were saying, right? Like, I mean, you wanted to be everything, but then you don't have a clear thing that this is what you're going. So there used to be some interest, I mean, here and there. There used to be interest in the stock market back then, also I had some interest. But then it was not like, you know, I wanted to make a career out of it. It's just like, okay, fine, I'm at this stage, let's just leave it out. So then later during college time, it was film making, direction, and all those. That is also there. So that is also going on. So that's what it is.
So moving for the sake of.
But Nikhil, I wanted to ask with that, right? Like, wow, you and Gita, so, and even this podcast for that matter, how did you come up with it? Like, did you have it? Was it like very spontaneous for you, or? Let's talk about both, like your guitar lifestyle as well as your music lifestyle, for that matter. I mean, your the new venture into podcast. Like, I don't think you. Did you even have a bit of interest in short films, or like, did you carry a camera in school and try to take some? There was a group who were interested in that, right? Like, I mean, were you also part of that? Don't recollect anything.
I was. Okay. So I'll give you the background. So I think very early in life, I learned that I could sing, not sing well, but sing decently enough. And this got validated because I joined the choir in school. I got selected to join the choir, so I could always sing. Then.
Okay. So getting selected to choir is actually a big deal, right? Because. Yeah. They are pretty scrutinizing because it has to be in sync for all that matters.
So I got selected to the choir maybe in like 9th, 10th or something. So I was like, okay, I've gotten selected. So it's not in my head. It's actually a real thing. Like, I thought I was a great cricketer, but I never made it to the house team only. So definitely not good there. But here I could sing. So I knew I was decent. Then the next thing that happened is, my aunt, who lives in California, after 10th, gifted me a MacBook. On MacBook, even today, any MacBook, there is this program called GarageBand, where you make music, record music, and do all that stuff. So I started playing around with that. And it was actually, it came to me quite naturally. And it was magical for me because I could compose full-fledged music on a computer right now.
This was at what age again?
This was in 11th.
Okay.
And then you spoke about the filmmaking group, right, mm-hmm. in school. So, so they were people involved in that who are still, some are still good friends of mine. And I was the music director for that. So they would come up with scripts and shoot the movie and all that. And I would read the script and compose background music for it. Mm-hmm. And nobody else was doing that back then. Was it good background music? Mm-hmm. Definitely not. But it was the only background music, so which made it better than nothing.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So with that, then basically compositions happened. The more composition and performing, like I did a couple of performances in school. But then when I went to college, I joined this a cappella group. A cappella is like no instruments. Everybody does sounds with their voice, right? So a full like 10 mm-hmm. people in a thing. So I joined that for a bit. I became the leader, the music director there. So mm-hmm. for that, it allowed me to manage people and like also start recording. We put something on. I wanted to make sure we are on iTunes. So even today, if you like, you can buy my music online. That's even on Spotify. If you type it, you get it, right? So, mm-hmm. so that we did. And then that didn't work out. At some point, I switched to a band with like some very close friends even now. So I was in a proper mm-hmm. rock band. So remember, I visualized I wanted to be a rock star.
Right, right.
So when I was a kid, that happened. But when I grew up, I was once in a stage where I started rapping in front of 3,000 people. So I was like, I lived that dream. Now, more than a performer, I've realized I'm a producer. So coming up with mm-hmm. ideas, making it sound good, know enough technology mm-hmm. to record and all that. So I've known mm-hmm. to do that for a long time. And if you know how to do a lot of that for music, podcasting becomes a lot easier. Podcasting is a subset mm-hmm. of it. Because podcasting, it's one single track, maybe two, right? Your voice and my voice, mm-hmm. that's it. There's no singing, there's no drums, there's nothing. You know, just stick it and be done with it. And I have to know how to cut things mm-hmm. here and there. So podcasting mm-hmm. is from a technical capability, podcasting is not as complex as music production. But mm-hmm. what I have learned with podcasting is the conversation you hold, the way you control your voice, the way you... the most important thing I've learned with podcasting is like, I shouldn't try to rush to the next question. I should kind of listen into everything a person is saying. And the whole idea of a podcast is to make it intimate for not just the people talking, but the people listening. Because podcast is probably the only medium, and I'm now quoting another podcast, but it's not a shared experience. It's a very personal experience. Even when you listen to something, it's in your ears. It's not in a room. Right, so the ability to create that level of intimacy is something I am learning more and more every time we speak here. And then,
yeah, in fact, I'm just realizing that that as and when you speak, because as a guest, right, like you've just called me as a guest, and I can sense myself, you know, talking much more into your conversation, which is not the case with you, because you are letting me complete my sentences, wherein I am talking as if it's a call, right, which is something which you would have learned from your other aspects of technical stuff, right? This sense would have come from there. Or was it like you looked at it more podcast, you read it, you prepared yourself by looking at how other people do their podcast? Or how did that happen?
Oh, it goes back to something you had said just before we had started this recording, where you said, how do you feel hearing your own voice? So I get... Everybody feels weird hearing their voice, but when you hear your voice mess up, it's even worse. So like many times when I speak and I'm cutting someone off or things like that, I realize that it was even worse. So the more you hear it and then you hear other podcasts and realize you're like, wait, there are also two people talking. Why is theirs different? So you just hear it and you figure it out. It's a little bit of that. I have a long way to go, obviously. But yeah.
Definitely. No, that just tells me that when I hear this episode come out, right, like I'm going to definitely feel bad about my voice interrupting yours.
No. You're the guest. You're supposed to talk as much as you want to. My job is to allow that as much as possible.
That's easy, yeah.
But Movin, that being said, we are getting close to our recording time. So I want to wrap this up with a few more minutes. What is something I should have asked you, but I didn't? Is there anything that you would like to ask me back?
I was thinking about, you know, in school, right? There was just this ghost thing that was happening. I mean, so as when I entered the school, no, there was this definitely it was kind of you know, just to freak people about and things. The tower block which was there, it used to be the boarding room or something like that. So I would like to know from you, to what extent is this all true?
I don't know. I think there might have been some scary stories back in the day, but the ghost of that part of that. The other thing is, like, I don't think I was in school ever at night. So school was always a bright place. So the concept of a ghost never scared me. What I did know is there's a, in the old school hall, there's always a rumor that there's a trap door, which is a tunnel that goes from the boys' school to the girls' school.
Wow. That would be nice, isn't it?
That's also major confidence, okay? Like, okay, you found the tunnel, you'll go there. You think girls are waiting over there for you? They'd be like, who are you? Why are you here?
Yeah, Nikhil, I mean, I think otherwise there's not anything that particularly a question where we missed on anything. Coming late is something which I wanted to just talk about. Like, there was just an experience in school, right? So just a small episode of what happened. So eternally I've been late to anywhere I go. Also, you know, the distance from my home to school at that point of time was contributing to that. I would just live in Belandur. That's almost like, yeah. So, there was a van which comes. There was a school van and that picks me up at 7:30. And I was not at all a morning person. I'm still not. So, there's many days where I used to miss it. And if you miss it, there's no other option for you but to go in a bus. Or like, there was no concept of Ola or cab or anything, auto, nothing of that sort at that point in time because of the distance. So, I used to end up coming late to the school every day. Eventually, the gatekeeper, right, the security for us, became a close friend of mine. You know, every day I come late to school and he lets me in after the school. That's the thing. So when there was a day when I ended up coming up on time to class, and then he was so concerned about me that he thought I was on leave. The next day I came late, where he was asking me what happened to you. I mean, everything's fine at home. Things like that. So that was a level of I just felt like the people here, right, in school was so different in the way I saw them, and then it was pleasant. I just like would want to end up wrapping up this episode by saying, like, you know, it's like it was a wonderful experience. I would, if, you know, given a choice to go back in time, I would definitely do this again. The 2 years that we spent in school, such a amazing experience in all the aspects. There used to be movies which you used to watch in the auditorium, the music competitions, the everything. I mean, the fest that happened, all good. So that's what we wanted to just add on. Apart from that, there's nothing else, questions as we have.
Well, good moment. So definitely, I think we covered a lot of topics, but I think we can talk about a lot more. The only reason I'm saying we'll put a pin on it now is so that I can invite you back for the sequel.
There's a sequel also.
Yeah, because we have a lot more. So maybe we can do a group one where we can have a couple more people.
That would be even more fun, no?
Yeah.
That would be fun also, yeah.
And we got all our common stuff and all our Nikhil and Moomin stories out of the way. So then we can have more conversations later.
Crazy. This is actually a great start. I mean, I am still eager to see what the other guys have spoken. Well, I know that it's like you said, no, we've kind of filtered the common topics which we speak during the classes, during the meetings that we have, wherever we meet in Bangalore. But that's what, whatever is the secret stuff and the things which we don't really on top of our mind, which we don't speak, that's, I'm also eagerly waiting for other episodes to come out. And this is a great start. And great network that you're building, Nikhil. Yeah, just wanted to say that.
Well, thank you, Moomin. And thank you so much for taking time and speaking with me. And I hope we do a few more of these in the future. So, thank you.
Well, that brings us to the end of this podcast. Thank you so much for listening, and a special thanks to Movin. I'll see you next week with a brand new episode and a brand new guest. Till then, bye-bye.